Yeah. Yeah. Tell me that you're ready for the fantasy, fantasy, fantasy football, friends. Tell me that you're ready for the fantasy, fantasy, fantasy football, friends. Get up your bands. Pick up your wins. We out there league, get in the game and out of the stands. Tell me that you're ready for the fantasy, fantasy, fantasy football, friends. Tell me that you're ready for the fantasy, fantasy, fantasy football, friends. Get up your bands, pick up your wins. We out there league, get in the game and out of the stands.
Hey guys, welcome into another episode of the Fantasy Football Friends podcast. As always, I am your host, Cameron McCoy. I'm joined today by Chris Diaz. How you doing, Chris?
Hello, hello. I'm well. How are you?
I'm doing great. I just recorded an episode with Will Twyford. We broke down the AFC South, so that was a lot of fun. We are recording this on July 6th. And it's about 5 p.m., so we got some news to talk about. That'll be fun. But let me just go ahead and plug the show real quick. We are the Fantasy Football Friends, as stated. If you want to follow us, we're on pretty much every podcasting app out there. In case you're listening on Podbean or something like that, you can find us on Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, all sorts of stuff. We are there for you guys. If you do follow us on there, please feel free to like, subscribe, all that good stuff, and rate. Give us a rating if you don't mind. Even if it's a bad one, you know, it helps us grow as a podcast. So yeah, if you can hit us with that rating, we'd appreciate it. If you could share the show with your friends, if you enjoy it, just let them know, like, hey, I found this podcast. That'd be great. You can reach us on Twitter at FFBFriends, and you can reach us on email, thefbfriends@gmail.com. So that's how you can get at us. If you have any questions you'd like us to address on the show, we would be more than happy to answer them. So without further ado, we're going to get into the first half kickoff question. Chris said before we started recording he was a little hungry, so it's going to be a little food related. What fast food place has your favorite type of fries?
So this is in part due to volume, because when I want fries, I usually want a lot of them, and also due to how much I love getting fries from this place. But I love the Five Gentlemen of Burgers, Five Guys Burgers and Fries. One, they're like fresh cut potatoes. There isn't anything special or complicated about it. And then they do the wonderful thing that is they fill the cup that is supposed to be the portion size for fries, and then they add more on top of that, to the point where you open your bag and all you see is fries. And that's like, I might just go get Five Guys after we get done with this, because I am now salivating thinking about it.
Yeah, I like their fries a lot too. I think that they're a little bit too thick cut. Like, I feel like I'd like them more if they were a little thinner cut, but it's probably hard to cut much thinner than they do. Otherwise, I really do enjoy it. Plus, you can always get, you know, Cajun or fry seasoning on it, and if you do ask for extra, they load you up with that seasoning, so that's always nice. I do enjoy their fries a lot. I think if I had to pick, it would be either Wingstop. I feel like Wingstop has some pretty good fries, similar style where it's, you know, potato cut and then they add seasoning and you can get extra, and I really enjoy their fry seasoning. It's like a little bit of brown sugar in it. That's pretty good. Otherwise, for more of a fast food place, gotta go with Checkers or Rally's, depending on which part of the country you're in. Those seasoned fries are so good. Definitely always buy those in the frozen section to make at home.
Right.
They're so good.
And like, homemade is close, not exactly the same, but close enough to where it's like passable.
Yeah.
Wingstop is definitely like in a very consistent manner. They are a thinner version of Five Guys fries, in my opinion. So that's like a perfect way to kind of take it from Five Guys too thick to a good alternative. Wingstop is super underrated on fries. Like, I have trouble getting home with all of the fries when I order Wingstop.
Yeah, my biggest thing for them, I'm not really a huge fan of their chicken. The quality of the chicken isn't typically great. That's the biggest detractor from them, but I do love those fries. They're pretty good. And if you want to talk about loading up on fries, if you go to Checkers or Rally's, again, depending on where you live, and you get the Fry Lover one, that is a like large cup filled with fries, like literally one of their large drink cups filled with fries. So I mean, like you get a buttload of fries out of that.
That sounds heavenly.
Yeah.
Like, and a heart attack away. Like literally heavenly in multiple ways in taste and the ability to get you to heaven.
Yeah, they also know that people love their fries that much, because I'm pretty sure they have a burger that comes with fries on it.
Like, yeah, the Fry Lover's burger.
Yeah. Like that's a lot.
they even have chicken tenders seasoned in their fry seasoning. They're called fry seasoned chicken tenders.
Ooh.
And they're taking it and beating the horse, like they're running with it.
Yeah, I mean, hey, I'm down for that. They know what is successful and good for them. I'm about it.
Disclaimer, no animals were hurt in the production of this podcast.
Yeah, no animals were hurt. Potatoes were eaten vigorously and with a lot of power. Lots of potatoes. But yeah, so yeah, cool. So that was the first half kickoff question. Second half, we're gonna go a little bit more in line with what we are discussing on this episode. So we'll go ahead and tie in the big breaking news into the second half kickoff question. Baker Mayfield is officially going to be a Carolina Panther. I think that's great. We'll talk about his aspect of it a little bit more after this, but how do you think that really affects the wide receivers? How are you feeling for them?
So that kind of changes my mindset on them completely, because Carolina was a situation to avoid because you had question marks at who's providing them with the receptions. You know, Sam Darnold struggled last year. They have the rookie Matt Corral. I think PJ Walker is still the backup there. But not a lot coming out of the QB position. Oh, and not even PJ Walker. It was Cam Newton last year because they switched back and forth.
Yeah,
I don't even think Cam's going to be back. Yeah. So looking at Curtis Samuel, Robbie Anderson, even CMC, because that affects him because he is valued because of his pass catching ability out of the backfield. I think it's a lot better of a situation when you have a quarterback that at least has some proven track record of being able to get the ball to receivers. I know that he struggled with the OBJ situation, so like a high-profile receiver and getting him his targets. But Baker's a good player, and you tweeted it on the account. People forget that he was an offensive runner-up offensive rookie of the year in his rookie season, and he's been borderline elite in some of his performances. I really like his play style. I think he can do well in the league, and I think that speaks to how well the receivers could play. Like, it could be beneficial to them 100%.
You just totally disrespected my boy DJ Moore by leaving him out of the listing of wide receivers there. You went with Curtis Samuel and Robbie Anderson.
And just for the record, I was avoiding that situation so much that I really didn't know.
Yeah.
Didn't even think to mention DJ Moore. Now he's probably the best one of the bunch.
Yeah. He's definitely going to be the wide receiver leading in that room. But no, yeah, I think we were talking about it offline with Evan, who was on an episode with us a little while ago. And, you know, just discussing it, I can see why a lot of people would immediately not be excited about this news and not think that it's good for the players in Carolina. But like you said, and quoting what I said on the tweet, was, you know, people forget, you know, Baker's been playing for what, 4 years now. Yeah, this last year wasn't great, but his first year almost won offensive rookie of the year. He was behind Saquon Barkley, so I mean, he could have played out of his mind and I don't think he would have won anyway. But all of his stats that I was looking up were, I mean, he threw for close to 4,000 yards a couple times, typically has around, on average, 25 touchdowns, decent with his interception ratio, and he runs a little bit, you know. I think unless I'm reading this wrong, he had at least 200 rushing yards, which isn't hard to hit, really. You know, it's less than 20 yards a game and you can hit 200, but I mean, not every QB is out there doing that consistently. So yeah, I'm gonna have to go in and change my rankings or my projections now, because I projected old Sam Darnold to be the starting QB there. Now I got to go in and change it to Baker Mayfield, which I'm assuming will he probably won't be like super high, but he'll be a QB2, I would imagine.
Right, and I think recency bias is playing in here, like recency bias about his performance last season. He did play most of last season, like, hurt, and, like, hurt to the point where, you know, you could look at the Browns with the kind of questioning look of, like, why they let that happen, why they let him continue. So I do think that his health played a big factor there, so hopefully he's in a less toxic situation for him. I don't know if the Browns situation, I'm not out here saying the Browns run a toxic organization, but... I mean, they did the man dirty. They 100% did.
They
they put all their all of their eggs and their future in the basket that Deshaun Watson is going to be able to play in the near future, and it's not looking like this year. And some people are pushing for indefinitely, and that imagine the detrimental blow that is to a Cleveland organization that's already fighting to, you know, they were at one point relevant. They were relevant in the division where, you know, they were competing. And now they've given away, a handful of first-round picks and a lot of money to an unknown. I mean, Deshaun Watson's great if he plays, but who knows if that's even going to happen at this point.
Right, and I honestly, I can't remember if I talked about it on the podcast or if we talked about it off-air, me and Will, but I just think that given what at least the accusations were and stuff, if the NFL is going to suspend him, it's got to be at least a year or more, because if Calvin Ridley's out here getting a year for placing a bet that his terrible Falcon team is going to win a game, that's a losing bet. This man got suspended for placing a losing bet.
Right. And it was in a game that he didn't play in, so it wasn't like he was impacting the result. But I think it the league has to send a message, especially in today's day and age, with that kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, that's totally understandable. You could get into a messy situation where people are trying to influence the outcome of a game that way, but I don't know. I just think, A, like you said, he wasn't playing, and B, pretty sure everybody knew that at that point in the season the Falcons weren't really going to be able to do too much. So it just seems ridiculous, and especially if you compare it to now they're talking about Deshaun Watson getting a year. I mean, I've heard analysts and stuff say that what they're hearing is they don't think it's going to be more than like 6 games. So I mean, that to me, that's just crazy. That's just absolutely crazy. But
yeah, not comparable. I don't think that would fly very well with the fans or with people that are in support of the people that are bringing the accusations to light, you know?
Yeah, well, you know, the other side of it is that people have short memories with things like this frequently, especially just like your average fan, not the people that like are really into football and or fantasy football that remember being screwed by people getting suspensions and stuff. Like, you know, people forget Tyreek Hill's incident several years ago. People probably, for the most part, have forgotten about Kareem Hunt, too. So, you know, that's just short-term memory. Things get forgotten. So, anyway, I think that all around, this is a great move. The only other spot that I would have liked Baker to go to more, possibly Seattle. I think the receiving weapons there are definitely better. If Rashad Penny shows out like he did at the end of last season, I mean, he's great, but he's definitely no CMC. So either way, that's a downgrade. And I think that the offense that Pete Carroll likes to run is more in line with what Baker was used to. So I think it would have been a slightly easier transition. But hey, I'm happy for Baker. He's going to a better situation for himself, I'm sure, mentally at the very minimum. He's got good weapons. You know, I think it's funny. I don't know if you saw the tweet back in April, I want to say it was, when news of Baker possibly going to the Panthers broke, and Robbie Anderson tweeted out, "No!"
I think they had actually, he had to tweet today, Robbie Anderson did, that he has no problems with Baker, and had a video of him in a press conference defend, and he was basically saying he was just defending his quarterback at the time, because it's already become a storyline point that Robbie Anderson doesn't want Baker. It's funny that you brought that up, because I saw a tweet literally right before we started recording. One other thing to note is that the Browns and the Panthers play each other week 1, so we don't even have to wait that long to see the reunion / revenge game.
Oh man, if Deshaun Watson doesn't play and it's Baker Mayfield for the Panthers versus whoever. Oh, but Jacoby Brissett. Jacoby Brissett. If that's the game that we get, the Panthers are going to just manhandle the Browns. That's going to be a bad start to that season for the Browns.
I'd put some respect on Jacoby Brissett's name. He's been able to be serviceable.
I would say he's on the worst end of the serviceable spectrum. He showed a little bit when he first when he filled in, what was it, for Andrew Luck? Is that who he filled in for first?
Yeah, Indianapolis.
Yeah, he had flashes there, but I even remember like picking him up because he played one game really well, and then he's like mediocre. I just don't think he's that good. I mean,
no, he's placeholder, like in name and definition. Like, you look up placeholder quarterback and he's like the perfect fit, like manages it, won't lose you games, won't win you games, but he does have some athletic ability and he's big, so he's hard to bring down. So,
sure, yeah,
there's always that potential, but I'm not saying he's going to be a world beater, but that is a Carolina team that really struggled last year. But if they're going to do anything consistently, they started off really hot. Like, I think they won their first 3 or 4 games.
Yeah, but I mean, crashing. Even then, Sam Darnold looked great in those games. Like, he was rushing. I think he had like three rushing touchdowns in the first 3 games or something like that. Yeah, like, there was one game where he ran super high. Yeah.
Yeah, he was super high on the quarterback rankings early in the season last year for that reason, because I do remember watching him run one or two in one game.
Yeah, he was great. Right. I mean, honestly, he was good until CMC went down the first time, and then never really came back from it. I think he got injured too, so it's just, you know, wasn't a great position. So it is what it is. I don't think there's much else to say on the Mayfield topic. So we're gonna get into the meat and potatoes of the episode, and that is discussing the wide receiver projections that I just finished yesterday. And boy howdy, was that an experience, putting all these numbers to everybody. And I'm sure I still need to go in and touch some things up, but I feel pretty good about where I have, where everybody ended up. Nothing too egregious from what I can see, especially at the top of the top of them. So we're just going to go down the list. I'm going to read them off really quickly, and then we'll throw out whatever, you know, whatever comes to mind. So I got Cooper Kupp, number 1, Deebo Samuel, Justin Jefferson, Devontae Adams, Ja'Marr Chase, CeeDee Lamb, Tyreek Hill, Mike Evans, Stephon Diggs, and Darnell Mooney. Round out that top 10. Does anything there stand out to you?
So just to clarify, this is for half PPR for those listening.
Yes.
Specifically. So this is based on a half point per reception.
Mm-hmm.
We decided to go down this list because it'd be very similar to full PPR in terms of where everybody statted out or ranked in these. And it's a little more common than standard. Nothing jumps out. This seems pretty standard. These are all great top tier receivers that you should be targeting. I know these are people I'd be looking at if I was doing a zero RB strat to start off a draft. Try to get one or two of these. Darnell Mooney's interesting at 10. I mean, he's above some interesting names, and I don't disagree because of the situation he's in. But when I saw it initially, I was like, wow, Mooney's up there. But how did he finish out last year?
I would have to look up how he finished last year. Darnell Mooney fantasy finished last year. I probably already looked this up because I was actually having a conversation with Will offline yesterday when he got his hands on the projections. And honestly, that was, one of the first things that stood out to him as well was, where, you know, Darnell Mooney being as high as he was. Looks like he finished wide receiver 23. So this would be a large jump for him.
But he's in a situation that requires that. Like, somebody has to catch the passes up there, right?
Right. The big change for that team right now is that Allen Robinson isn't there anymore. So, I mean, that leaves a huge target vacuum. And they didn't really do too much to fill that out. So
no, I think they only drafted one. I think Velus Jones is who they drafted out of Tennessee. And while he could be there to take some of that, I don't think he's going to be as productive. And Darnell Mooney was already a decent target for Fields. So I'm with you. You'd be the first to call it like that, you know, sometimes you got to stick your neck out and say, hey, here's my bold take. This might be yours.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we've talked about it on an episode before, but if you recall, when we first started recording this 3 years ago, you know, and obviously had the break in between, but one of the episodes back then I called Lamar Jackson a steal of the draft, and he went on to be the MVP of the season. So, you know, yeah, if I'm going to plant my flags, I mean, it's not like I went in and tried to manufacture numbers for him. I looked at his stats from last year, you know, broke down his catch percentage and stuff like that. And I figured out, you know, how many targets I expect there to be from the team. I expect them to be behind a lot, so they're gonna have to throw a lot, so that's gonna be extra targets. Then, like I said, Allen Robinson not being there, that frees up a lot of extra targets. So I have him getting 166 targets and pulling in 99 of them. He has a really high yards per reception at 13.9 is what I statted him out at based on what he had last year, and I have him taking a little bit of an extra step forward this year going into his third full season. So, I mean, I expect him to get a little bit better there. He ends up with nine TDs. He rushes a little bit. He's quick, so, I mean, he rushes a little bit, and I've got him, you know, getting one on the ground, so, which he had one on the ground last year, so it's not like it's that big of a stretch, so... Yeah.
No, not at all. And I mean, these stats are kind of in line with what he did last year with a little bit of a bump given the vacuum there. So, I mean, it's doable 100%. And I mean, just based off of the data, it seems like this isn't that you would think just looking at these numbers, like not an outlandish take. It's just a surprising one, if anything.
Yeah.
Usually you don't see Darnell Mooney listed as someone in the top 10 of anybody's rankings. But I agree. I like the thought process behind.
Yeah. I mean, just looking at his numbers from last year, you know, he had 1,000 yards last year. And that was with the QB carousel that they had. I expect Fields to be better this year and be the starter all season. So, and I have him taking a leap on getting a couple extra TDs. So, yeah, I appreciate what you said. I don't think that anything is too outlandish for where he ended up, except for like you said, that, you know, it's not in line with where others have him going. Let me see. What is his ADP? Darnell Mooney. He is going the 86th overall in the 7th round. So, I mean, he's going behind Elijah Moore, Devonta Smith, Allen Robinson. I mean, he's going behind a lot of guys that I would rather have him over. I think he's going to finish really well, so I think that would be a steal if you can get him in the 7th round. Cortland Sutton's also right behind him. Gabe Davis, I don't know why they have Cordarrelle Patterson listed as a wide receiver still. I feel like he's more running back, but it is what it is.
Isn't he listed as both in some
formats? I haven't looked into it, but I was listening to another podcast the other day, and they were talking about it, and I think Sleeper took away his dual eligibility. So I think most platforms, when the season starts, will have him, I guess, a wide receiver. That must be what the team has him listed as. So, you know,
that's bizarre because he's 100% their running back.
Yeah, I mean, who else would be their running back right now? Mike Davis is gone.
I couldn't even tell you.
So I don't.
I think they have a rookie.
Eno Benjamin's gone, and so is Ito Smith, right? I want to say he's gone too. So.
Yeah, I'm going to look it up if you want to continue on, and then I'll come back to it.
Yeah, so, I mean, out of those, I was a little bit surprised that Davante Adams still finished where he did, changing new teams, but I have him, you know, getting a lot of targets from his buddy Carr, and he's pretty efficient catching them. One of the most efficient catchers in the league other than like Cooper Kupp. And then he's a touchdown monster. He doesn't rush really, so he's pulling in all of his stuff off those catches. So yeah, I mean, he stood out to me a little bit. I was also a little bit surprised that you know, Jefferson and Chase were split like they were, but you know, when we're at these levels, like I have Justin Jefferson getting 302 points at three, and I have Jamar Chase at 289. So it's, you know, what is that, 13 points difference? I mean,
yeah, you're splitting hairs at that point.
Right. CeeDee Lamb also was a little bit surprising where he finished on my projections, but I mean, he's going to be the guy. Michael Gallup, we're still not sure what his timetable for returning is, so it's another situation where it's like Mooney. He's going to be the guy. He's going to catch a lot of passes.
It's the same similar situation with a big name receiver leaving with Amari Cooper. Just to circle back, that we have forgotten that Atlanta signed Damian Williams, so that actually is a decent backup.
Yeah. No, I mean, I honestly could see, you know, Williams being their lead rusher, and then, I mean, they don't have a whole lot of wide receiving options, so Patterson probably will line up wide quite a bit. So yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. All right.
Maybe in the Debo mold.
Yeah, something like that, where he's more of a dual threat. I mean, that's what he's been. That's what he was last year. So, I mean, he lined up as wide receiver a lot, but he also took a lot of carry. I mean, we were at the game at the beginning of last year, and I remember being shocked that he was working. He came on the field first and was working with the RB coaches before Mike Davis was. And I was just like, this guy's gonna be a monster this season. And then,
right,
sure enough. Unfortunately, I think Josh in our Dynasty League ended up scooping him before me. I don't know if he had higher priority or if he spent more fab. I don't remember exactly which league it was, but somehow he ended up getting him, and that was a little disappointing because I was trying to.
Actually, Joey Noodlum in our Dynasty League has him now because I was trying to. I've been trying to identify a trade in which I can get a younger quarterback and a decent running back, and he Cordell Patterson was one of the options, but I couldn't make a deal work out. But that's how I know he has him. But
so it must have been
last year.
It must have been in the redraft league then, which makes sense. All right, so that's the top 10. Starting with 11, we've got Michael Pittman, AJ Brown, Equanimeous St. Brown, Brandon Cooks, Michael Thomas, Terry McLaurin, Mike Williams, Cortland Sutton, DJ Moore, then Adam Thielen rounds out at number 20. So, what you think? What you think about that? What any of those guys stand out?
I like this list. This is that these are the names I was looking at when I saw Darnell Mooney, where I was like, whoa, he's above some of these names. So, Michael Pittman, I do think, is going to have a big year. Has Matt Ryan. Not that Carson Wentz did bad last year, but I've been singing the praises of Matt Ryan, and some those praises means more stats, and those stats have to be thrown to receivers. So I think that Pittman's going to be the beneficiary there. I do like AJ Brown this year. I do like that he's in Philly, opposite of Devontae Smith. And I think that that's a interesting situation, and it's really up to what Hurts does. And I do think Hurts can take a step forward. With Terry McLaurin's new deal, that distraction's out of the way, so he can perform at a high level. He does have Wentz now at quarterback, so that's an improvement from last season. So that should mean better numbers for him. We talked about DJ Moore and my disrespect of not remembering he plays for Carolina, and his situation got better. And I think a name in your top 20 that I think a lot of people forget about is Adam Thielen, because Adam Thielen has had a couple quote-unquote down years, but the man's a touchdown machine. I mean, of all the people listed, he's your second highest in total touchdowns, but behind Cooper Kupp. So he's touchdown dependent, which is a little scary, but he's someone that's probably going, I don't have the ADP pulled up, but he's probably going a little later.
His ADP right now is 64th overall. He's going in at the top of the sixth round.
If people are drafting smart and, you know, they have your rankings right next to them, I don't think that's a bad spot to pick him up. I think that's a good, you know, second batch of 10 in terms of names to look at.
Yeah, if you could, in the sixth round, so what you're saying, you've picked five people already. If you go running back, wide receiver, and then, you know, if you want to take a shot on a QB that early, depending on your format. I mean, I typically like to wait, but if it's, you know, super flex or something like that, you could try to take a QB early, or in just a regular one QB redraft, you know, shoot your shot, get one of the better guys. You know, looks like you could still get Jalen Hurts and Matthew Stafford. So you could reach for them a little bit and then come back and have Adam Thielen as like your third. And I think, yeah, as a third wide receiver, I don't know if I would trust him as a second necessarily.
No, but as a third, that's a healthy third.
Yeah, that's a real strong third right there. And like you said, it's
healthy.
it's all based on those touchdowns that he likes to pull in. I mean, him and Kirk Cousins just have that vibe, because he's the only QB or only wide receiver in this range that has less than 1,000 total yards. So
right, I see that. And one thing that I think gives me a little bit more faith in his output is that I don't know where it's coming from or where this came out to the media, but I believe it was Kirk Cousins that said it, or someone in that circle, but talking about the new offense that they're running and that it's a little bit more pass happy, because
yeah,
I think I was reading an article about Dalvin Cook getting more in terms of receptions and getting,
yeah,
and how he can be top tier because of that. And if they're more pass happy, that's probably a benefit to, you know, Thielen and having more of that production, because I know last year they played pretty conservative. They were low scoring, ran a lot more. So I agree with you. And I jokingly laughed because I said healthy when Adam Thielen's big knock is that he's touchdown dependent and not always healthy.
Right.
But he's a strong third, and I agree with you completely. If you go RB, RB, and then either if you're in a tight end league and you take a shot at one of the top tier tight ends to solidify that position early, which I wouldn't do, but I know people that do that, mm-hmm, you can hang your hat on having a good wide receiver option in Thielen that late.
Yeah, for sure. Other names that kind of stand out that I was a little bit surprised, Equanimeous St. Brown. I mean, you know, based on what he did last year and limited work, you know, that's kind of all I can go off of. So if you extrapolate what he did last year, apply where I think the targets are going to go, I think he's going to be great. There's a lot of volatility there, though, if you're looking to take him. The other one that stood out is Brandon Cooks being 14th, but I feel like that's just kind of, he's always right around there. He's going to get good yardage. He's pretty much the only name in town. And yeah, I mean, I'm super excited to go after Cooks anywhere out there that I can find him for a good value. So
yeah, Cooks is a player where everybody's like, nope, he's just not going to be there. And then he is just always there, never goes away. And I mean, those Davis Mills targets have to go somewhere.
Yeah.
I can't think of anybody else that would be up there. So I actually agree.
Well, and then for reference, Adam Thielen is going 1, 2, 3, 4 picks behind Brandon Cooks. So, you know, Brandon Cooks would be there basically at the middle to end of the fifth round. You could go and scoop him. And I mean, if you could get Brandon Cooks as, you know, if he falls to the sixth round and you can get him as your third wide receiver, I mean, you're going to be a monstrous team. I mean, I would like to have him as my number two if I can get him. So
right. I think this is more benefit, or not benefit, but more evidence in why taking RBs early is so important, because we're talking, you know, in the fifth, sixth, seventh round that you can get this quality receiver. The complementary running backs at this time wouldn't be nearly as serviceable, so it's pretty important. You can make it work with receivers, and I think that's why a lot of people recommend taking your running backs early, because the options are better late for receivers.
Well, especially this year. I was talking to Will about this offline yesterday, again, once he started looking into the projections that I put out, and one of the big things that I was trying to hammer in, and he agrees. I mean, I think most people that are dialed into the industry typically lean running backs early. But this year, QB and wide receiver are extremely deep. Like you can go down the line and find people that are, you know, would make a serviceable wide receiver one for your team. I mean, I've got Terry McLaurin behind Brandon Cooks, but I wouldn't be mad if I started off with McLaurin and Cooks as my two wide receivers, if that's what I ended up with. You know, Michael Pittman, again, based on my projections, I feel like he has a good chance to climb into the top 10. It just has to go wrong for one person and go really right for him, and he could pop up in there. So, you know, there's a lot of depth at the wide receiver and QB position this year. So, you have any other thoughts on this this group?
Nope, I thought it was well said. I'm ready for the next group.
All right, cool. So, starting off at 21, we've got Amari Cooper, Rashad Bateman, Deontay Johnson, Keenan Allen, T. Higgins, Adam Lazard, Hunter Renfrow, Jerry Jeudy, DK Metcalf, and Tyler Lockett. Now, first thing I'm going to throw out there right there is that it's kind of interesting that DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett ended up right next to each other. So it's kind of...
Yeah, it'll be... those are interesting just because I think some of their stats are good. I mean, with Russell Wilson, they're going to look a little better. But I know if Geno Smith plays, he and DK already had a chemistry. And I think Geno's more prone to chuck it and DK's down there somewhere mentality. Yeah. Now, and I say that fully aware that Russell Wilson's one of the best deep ball throwers, not in terms of how far he can throw it, but in terms of accuracy. So they already had a little bit of that there. Another name that jumps out, and I know we talked offline about this, but Rashad Bateman. Mm-hmm. I know you were talking about Baltimore's wide receiver situation, how that it's kind of not one because they don't really have a whole lot of options. But if anybody's going to be on the receiving end for Lamar Jackson, Bateman has to step up in his second year. I know they think really highly of him, enough so that they traded Hollywood Brown away, depending, you know, regardless of how you feel about Marquise Brown. But in this list, a lot of good names. Keenan Allen, consistent performer in a high-powered offense. He's another great option. Like, then further proof that further down the list, you still get some quality. Adam Lazard is interesting this high, and but I understand why. Again, you know, with Green Bay and their wide receiver situation, I can see him having to jump up. And I'm a huge fan of the next two names, Hunter Renfrow and Jerry Jeudy. Hunter Renfrow, I have to tone down because now they have Devontae Adams with Oakland with Las Vegas, because those targets now get split, and Hunter Renfrow was a target machine. And then Jerry Jeudy now has Russell Wilson, so that situation gets a lot better.
Right. So to circle back around to where we started, Bateman, he's got a good amount of yards, and he's going to score a decent amount of touchdowns. One of the things that if he can step his game up, and I think I upped his yards per reception a little bit, but if he can average two more yards per reception kind of thing, he would jump way higher up the list. So that's kind of what's holding him where he is. I could see him finishing higher. Amari Cooper was a little bit surprising, and I'm probably gonna have to wait until I find out whether it's gonna be Deshaun Watson or Jacoby Brissett, but he's probably gonna fall. He's a big fall candidate if it's Brissett versus Watson. And Keenan Allen stands out to me here because I was honestly shocked that he ended as low as he did in my projections. I think a lot of people are going to find a problem with that, 'cause he always ends up in like the top 15. But I have, the way I look at it is Mike Williams, I had him getting, a larger share of the targets, and Keenan Allen's big thing is typically he doesn't score as many touchdowns. And I have Mike Williams scoring a decent amount for the team. So it just, I mean, again, though, also Keenan Allen, I have getting 213 points. DJ Moore up in that last tier that we talked about is getting 225. So again, there's not a huge difference in points between these guys. So Keenan Allen could definitely end up a lot higher at the end of the year.
Right. I think the variance will be pretty high, especially because the point totals are so close. One thing to point out with him is that wide receiver depth chart is getting a little crowded because they have a second year player, Josh Palmer. Sorry, I was like reading Jason Moore and thinking Josh Palmer. They're right next to each other on the depth chart. But Josh Palmer, who I have on my dynasty team, but towards the end of the season, as he was getting more comfortable it could be speed of the game, it could just be rapport with Herbert, but he was starting to come on late in the season, and I imagine that's going to continue, which you can't. It's a finite amount of targets and a finite amount of passes that have to be split amongst the three of them, and I think the more multidimensional they are, the better for their offense, so that could also impact Keenan Allen.
Yeah, I think this is one of the most interesting areas of the projections, just because there's so many people in here that I could see finishing a lot higher than where they're projected. But then who do you pull from ahead of them? Like, do I really think that, you know, if everything goes well for Equanimeous St. Brown based on what he was doing last year, do I think Keenan Allen's going to finish ahead of him? You know, if Michael Thomas actually plays, do I think Keenan Allen finishes ahead of Michael Thomas? Not really. So it's just like, like I said, it's a deep position this year. The next name that I could throw out there is T. Higgins. T. Higgins finishing on my ranks at 25 is seems super low, because I've seen him be, I want to say, like as high as 15 in some other analyst rankings. So, and these aren't rankings per se. This is just the projections. Like if I wanted to go in and rank, they'd be somewhat similar, but there's going to be variance just because of how close those numbers finish out. And the rankings would be based on the projections, but also based on how I honestly feel. Like it's more of a gut thing as well. Whereas the projections are based on more numbers and less gut, if that makes sense. So him finishing where he did in my projections seemed a little low for the guy. And we already you hit on Alan Lazard. I'm nervous, man. Honestly, I don't want to get too far into the conversation about it, but I'm nervous about Aaron Rodgers this year. I
feel like I would be, but he's made it happen with lesser like names. Like we were getting new names every week. You know, we had Jake Kumerow, even Alan Lazard, like he's a product of that, where they were just throwing dudes who played receiver at some point in their life. It felt like at one point, like, can you run straight? Do you know what a slant is? All right, let's go catch some passes. And Rodgers is still doing the same. And my concern would be style change or philosophy change with them, because they invested in defense. They drafted for defense. They have AJ Dillon in the backfield with Aaron Jones, and like, do they start to I go in my gamer mind and think, are they going to turtle more? Are they going to basically hold people to little to no points and then just take time of possession away and do enough to win games in the format of what the 49ers did to them last year? Like, I can see learn from your enemies. The 49ers starved them of possession essentially when they played them in the playoffs, and then won off of late field goal. So I feel like that would hurt him more than who he's throwing to. But I'm nervous too. It may be time to, you know, I wouldn't say never think to say the words fade Aaron Rodgers, but
yeah, I mean, we cross-reference the QB list that I have out, and he's fifth. So it's like he gets it done. Like you said, he always has. And he has had stretches where he works with basically unheard of people, and he makes it work. I think if he trusts you and he can build that chemistry with you, it doesn't take a whole lot to get a lot of points out of Aaron Rodgers. I mean, he's a Hall of Fame QB. He's going to get the job done. So Adam Lazard could finish higher than I have him, but I think he's more of a he's more of a dart throw. So, you know, I honestly, if I was going to take anybody, I would probably avoid the Green Bay pass catchers. I think it's going to be spread the ball out so much that nobody's going to be particularly useful. But, you know, if you want to take a flyer on him, I have no problem with it. So, and then
right, and I agree with you that I don't think too many people would be taking that risk, so that he may be available to take a flyer on.
Yeah, and then you already hit on Hunter Renfrow a lot. I think that Devontae Adams being there is actually going to be good for him, because obviously the defense is going to have to skew towards Adams. So I think that that's going to be pretty good for him. He was really efficient last year. He's kind of like a Julian Edelman type player, and I think he's going to end up with a lot of receptions and a lot of yardage. So, and you know, it should lead to a bunch of touchdowns. But you know, I think if he had more catches, he'd finish a lot higher in the projections, especially in half PPR. Just for giggles, let me see, where did he finish in Hunter Renfrow? So he finished at 23 in standard, as opposed to half PPR. So I mean, that's a little bit of a bump up there. So I mean, you can see that it's because of his lack of receptions that he falls a little bit. So and then the last two on this list, DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett. I mean, they're great wide receivers. one could argue, elite to a certain extent. You know, they definitely have that upside, but with Drew Lock throwing them the ball and Pete Carroll's proclivity for being a run first team, I don't see it happening. And even if it's Geno Smith throwing the ball, it's tough, man. Like, I have Lockett getting over 1,000 yards still, but I had to pull back his reception percentage just because there's no way that the targets that he's getting aren't going to be as good. There's going to be a lot more quote-unquote targets his way, but less catchable balls. So I had to do the same thing for both him and DK. I didn't feel right not doing it.
Right, so. And Lockett always benefited from the accuracy from Russell Wilson because his yards per reception is one of the highest on this list. I mean, he's up in that top echelon because he's constantly being the go guy, basically catching the long ball. I don't know if the quarterbacks there now are going to be able to do the same things. So it is, and you mentioned it when we first got through this section, that it's just funny that they both ended up like right behind each other. So yeah. That is a pretty funny how the numbers work out kind of situation.
Yeah, I got Lockett with 197 and DK with 202. So, I mean, they're split by like five points. So, you know. All right, cool. Unless you have anything else to say about that group, I think we did a pretty good job breaking that down. We'll move on to the next set. We've got Chris Godwin at 31, Christian Kirk, Marquez Valdes-Scantling, Marquise Brown, Jalen Waddle, Greg Davis? Is that who that is? Why do I feel like that? Russell? No.
Gabriel Davis.
I don't know why. I just totally spaced on that. Juwan Dotson. I think that's our first rookie. Finishing at 37. Got Robert Woods, Devonta Smith, and Marvin Jones Jr. So, what stands out to you with that group? Yeah.
Sorry for the pause. I was highlighting it for myself so I can kind of get a gauge of what I'm looking at. So Godwin being this low is interesting, but I think it's fair considering he's going to miss some time at the beginning of the season with the ACL injury. I don't believe he's going to play in the first few weeks, if maybe not the first half of the season.
Yeah.
But I haven't heard too much out of camp. Christian Kirk's interesting because that is the first Jaguar, I believe, listed.
Yes, it is.
And he's going to be the top option. They paid a lot, and they paid for someone that they paid money as if he was higher on this list.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's in line with what that team and what that offense is going to be able to produce.
Oh, you're going to have a lot of fun listening to our AFC South breakdown because we talk about that a lot. So,
okay, yeah. Awesome. I'm looking forward to getting a listen to that. Jalen Waddle being this low is interesting because I know he's a name that a lot of people are talking about potentially having a breakout season.
Tyreek Hill, man.
There's
only so many targets, you know?
Right. Unless they go pass happy, but even looking at the head coach in Miami, who used to be the offensive coordinator in San Francisco, it's not like they threw the ball a ton.
Right.
They were balanced. If not, they were run.
And they pulled in heavy. So many running backs, dude. Their running back room is just it barely has enough room for another assistant trainer or something to step in that room with all the running backs they brought in. So yeah, I think that they're already showing us that they're not going to be necessarily a run first team, but like you said, I think it's going to be very balanced. They're going to cycle running backs and Tyreek Hill, man, he's going to demand a lot of targets. So I'm excited to go to that game and
see. Yeah, that's going to be a lot of fun and see it in person.
Yeah. See week one, how that's going to break out. Breakdown, but I mean, I have Jalen Waddle with 96 catches. He's not his big thing is he doesn't get a lot of yardage per reception. So it's like he's got one of the lowest at 9.9. If he can get that up, he would climb the list so far. You know, if you add an extra 2 yards on there, man, he'd be way up the list. So it doesn't take a whole lot, you know.
Gabe Davis being another name that a lot of analysts are talking about because he's taking over the number two role in Buffalo in a pass-happy offense. I agree that expectations should be tamed. He kind of rose to fame with his either three or four touchdown performance in the AFC Championship game.
Yeah.
Or the game against the Chiefs, I can't remember if that was even the AFC Championship game. It was in my mind. Jahan Dotson being this high makes sense. I think pre-Terry McLaurin's deal, I think he could have been even higher because he would have been off rip as a rookie, the main guy. Mm-hmm. Robert Woods being here is that's a name that I think could climb. Obviously, the variance between the points for people ahead of him and below him is pretty low, but he's coming off of injury, right?
Yeah, he's coming off an ACL tear that I believe, and we talked about him a lot on the episode because AFC South, he's on the Titans now. My big thing with him is that I think that the Titans are going to have to go very run heavy, as they always have, and there's a chance that he's not available at the beginning of the season, so I had to dial back, you know, the amount of catches and stuff he's going to be able to get. But I mean, if he's healthy and he's ready to go and he starts, I think he'll be decent, but I don't think he's going to be the only receiver that anyone is going to have to worry about, so he's going to see a lot of coverage, and I just don't, coming off an ACL tear, you got to hedge that bet a little bit. So, but I do have him rushing a little bit. He's good about taking stuff out of the backfield. So I honestly, if it weren't for that, he'd be way lower on the list. So, and then I was kind of surprised that Devonta Smith finished where he did, but I had to dial his numbers back a bit with AJ Brown coming to town. So, you know, again, it's, not a very pass happy team. So that caps his upside, and you know, he has a decent catch percentage, but it the amount of targets that he's getting is fairly low. He's one of the last guys in this list that I have projected for over 100. I mean, there's a couple sprinkled in lower, but he's like one of the last guys that ends up with barely over 100 targets. So I mean, it's a little bit surprising that he's not higher. He had a decent season last year, but the math put him where it put him. All right, next group, and this will probably be the last one that we talk about in depth, and we can just kind of scroll down the list and see if there's anybody that really stands out. So at 40, I already did 40, Marvin Jones. So that's also interesting that they're the two leading wide receivers for the Jags are down in that little pocket that we just went over. So Chris Olave is at 41 and Kenny Golladay 42, Treylon Burks at 43, Chase Claypool 44, Tyler Boyd, Van Jefferson, Olamide Zaccheaus, KJ Osborne, and Juju Smith-Schuster, Jacoby Myers round out that group there. So what you got for me here? What stands out?
So another rookie in Chris Olave. I do agree that he has the potential to perform really well. I mean, he's going to an offense that doesn't really have any other options outside of Jarvis Landry, and I'm a Jameis believer, so someone has to catch his passes, and I've heard that he's very pro ready, polished. So I think that's a good spot for him. Kenny Golladay is forgotten in New York, and I think he's a product of a lot of hype and a bad situation, or a lot of missed hype, like not as good as people thought he would be. So I think him falling down kind of makes sense, and that offense should improve, but I just have no faith in it.
Mm-hmm.
Claypool is interesting because Claypool could be really good in fantasy because he's utilized in a lot of different ways, because they tend to use him out of the backfield sometimes on sweeps to run. He should be a deep threat. That's kind of what he was brought in to be. But it all depends on what the quarterback does for Pittsburgh, be it Pickett or Trubisky. We both have talked about in the quarterback ranking podcast that we think Trubisky is going to do well. So therefore Claypool should have some good option, good result. Tyler Boyd is an interesting name because he's technically the third option in Cincinnati. But given their production offensively, I think he's a good option. He's someone that I would be aiming for this late if we were talking about draft situations. And then the other name is, and this is because he's also the namesake of my fantasy team, but yeah. Juju Smith-Schuster, RIP, his time in Pittsburgh, is going to a situation in Kansas City that is now devoid of a real top option. I don't know who ends up filling that void, but anybody who's playing with Mahomes, you kind of have to look at, because they tend to perform well fantasy-wise.
Yeah, we already moved past his name, but I do have Marquez Valdez-Scantling. I think he's going to be more or less the one that kind of steps into that Tyreek Hill style role. I mean, I don't remember which podcast it was on, but I definitely made a joke about it on another podcast about how he's kind of Tyreek Hill off brand. No offense to Valdes-Scantling, but you know, he has a very similar game style, I think, just not as good. So you're saying he's the
Tyreek we have at home?
Yes, that's the exact joke that I made the last time we talked about Marquez Valdes-Scantling. I honestly don't remember the episode, but yeah, I was like, you ask for Tyreek Hill, like, Mom, can we have Tyreek Hill? And your mom's like, no, we have Tyreek Hill at home. Marquez Valdes-Scantling is Tyreek Hill at home. So that's kind of where my thought process was. So I statted him out a little bit better. He got the majority of the voided targets. Juju, I think he's going to be a short area target kind of guy. He's going to be the slot guy a lot. So you can see that in his yards per reception and being down at 9.5. They still have a lot of people in that, you know, receiving room, a lot of receiving options. So it's hard to give out too many targets to him, especially coming in new and everything. So that's just kind of why he ended up where he ended up. Tyler Boyd. Yeah, he's the third on that. I think the Bengals are the only team that have three wide receivers this high up, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, because Robinson's down below him. Yeah, so I think, I think that team's going to throw a lot. I think it's going to be pretty powerful, but he's third on the pecking order. So there are definitely going to be weeks where he's probably the number one receiver on the team because he'll score two touchdowns or something and the other two won't, but they'll have a lot of yardage. But, you know, that's kind of where the thought process was on there. So that rounds out, you know, our the top 50. Who after that really stands out? I've got D-Hop at 51. That's going to be almost purely because he's going to miss six games.
He's going to be up there without playing the whole season. That's 100% suspension related.
Yeah. But I mean, hey, if he's available late in your draft, you know, and you don't mind keeping him stashed, I mean, that means he's gonna get all of these points, all 155 points that I have him statted for. You know, he's gonna get that in the back half of the season. So I mean,
yeah, like in your playoff runs,
right? So you know, he'd be a late round target if he's available for the right price. Let's see, Allen Robinson. I was a little bit surprised that he ended up so low on that offense, but I mean, with the amount of targets that I think Cooper Kupp's gonna get, and he's coming into a new situation, it was just hard to give him that many more targets. And they also have Van Jefferson there, and they, you know, they can pass to their running back. So it's just really felt hard to give him more than that. I think that's about it on the people that really stand out to me. I see you've got some highlighted. You want to quickly go through the guys that you have highlighted?
Yeah, and because I have a handful of them, I'll go quickly on each. So Jarvis Landry, I think his situation benefits him. It's boom or bust because it really depends on Jameis, who's the definition of boom or bust in terms of fantasy production. But if Jameis has a good year, that means that his receiving options are having good years, and Landry's going to come in as at least the number one vet presence there. So I think that there's some potential there. I highlighted Drake London, another rookie. He's in a situation where he's probably the go-to. I don't really think they have any other primary options, especially with Russell Gage no longer on the team, who's someone I'm about to mention, and then also the Calvin Ridley suspension. But rookie performance, it's iffy at best in terms of translation from what they did in college to what they're going to do in the league. A lot of people just sing his praises because he's so big and physically imposing. Sammy Watkins, for the same reasons that we were talking about with the Green Bay Packers situation, he's a veteran presence in a receiver room that we don't really know who's going to be the lead in. So there is potential, and I know there was some note made, but it's the offseason, and I mean, there's really all kinds of these notes, but that essentially he'd be heavily involved in the passing offense. Obviously, he's a receiver, and they pass some, so I think that's a very general statement, but that's a name to watch, especially super late. As you're filling your bench, that could potentially net some gain. Russell Gage, I talked about in his new situation with Tampa. Brady, we talked about in our QB episode that it's already come out that he's going to have to be a big part of the offense if they're to be successful. I'm wait and see, but usually Brady is good at least spreading his targets. He throws to a lot of different receivers, but with that comes that catch of it, you never know which week is going to be a good Russell Gage week. Mm-hmm. I highlighted Pickens because I'm a Steelers homer, and of all the receivers we got, I'm very excited about him. And he was an absolute beast in college, and has that mean streak. He's got like this overwhelming, like mean streak in him where he'll get in your head almost in the way of like Ramsey, but in a receiver. Like Jalen Ramsey talks and talks and talks and gets in your head, but we'll see how that translates to the NFL. But I do think he's going to have some fight and some spunk to him, which is going to be pretty exciting. And I ultimately think we'll be a pretty okay on offense. And then Kadarius Toney, listed really low here, and understandably so. He's got an injury history, and he's only been in the league 1 year. And also, that there was some rumor of him not even wanting to be on the Giants anymore, mm-hmm. and then now he's in camp. You still have to worry about having Daniel Jones as your quarterback, but he was someone that a lot of people saw a lot of potential in. And he's a use in every way, shape, or form. Get him the ball. It's like, you know, I don't know if you've seen Hey Arnold when they play. They're playing basketball and
yeah,
they're
Tormund.
Like, just get the ball to Tucker.
No, isn't it or Tormund? Which the bully, the big guy wears the torn off sleeve vest and with the bandana over his head. You're thinking of the episode where Tucker is the son of the captain in basketball. And he always wants it to go to his son.
Pass the ball to Tucker.
Right. That's all everybody could do. No, Tormund is the one who got the ball on football because he was a big monster guy.
Okay. I was using the get the ball to Tucker reference, but yeah. that the football one's probably more relevant. But Tony's someone that I think they're going to try to get the ball to and all kinds of places on the field.
Right.
Balancing that with Barkley's touches and Kenny Galladay's touches. I mean, we'll see how that happens, but he's someone that could outperform his stat here.
Oh, for sure.
But I think overall, him being here is a less risky, educated guess on how they're going to perform. But those are some of the names that popped off. I just highlighted them on the list.
Yeah.
But all in all, I think it's a pretty solid list.
Cool. Yeah. Well, I'm glad. Glad it makes sense. Glad you feel like there's nothing like crazy egregious, or you know, I am gonna have to touch things up as more news comes out, and you know, we get closer to the season and training camp reports and all this, and so things will get touched up. People will rise and lower, I'm sure. But it was very interesting putting all this together. I can't say that it was exactly fun, but it was eye-opening looking into all those stats and bringing it all together for this. So, yeah, I had fun overall, I suppose, doing it. More fun talking about it with you than putting it together, so that's always nice.
Well, and I want to say just I am happy for the safety and well-being of your computer, given that it may have or may not have been destroyed had it malfunctioned in any way.
Yeah, if I had lost about 4 or 5 hours of work, I would have probably snapped it in half. That was very, very upsetting. Thank you, Microsoft, for having the forethought to have your programs kind of shadow back things up. Even though I hadn't saved it in a while, it backed it up and I was able to recover it. So that was really nice. So you got anything else to say before we wrap it up for one more time?
I think I saw something today to the effect of the preseason's a month away.
Yep,
saw that. I feel it in my bones.
Yeah, super excited. Well, that means I think the season's like 62 days away, something like that. Like we're like the actual season. We're getting close. We're getting close. We'll be at that Miami Pats game week one. That'll be fun. And yeah, super excited about it. Super excited to be doing more hosting with you. Super excited to have more football to talk about. Yeah, it's going to be a fun year, man. I'm excited.
So what's next? Is it going to be running backs next go around?
Yeah, the next round of projections will be running backs. And then as much as I don't really want to do it, tight ends will be after them. And then we're going to have a lot of episodes coming out with breakdowns, divisional breakdowns and stuff. Just a fill time. We'll probably do some more mock drafts. And yeah, I mean, we still have a lot of content to get through in the off season. You know, it's gonna, you know, we still have plenty to talk about, so that's fun. But yeah, running backs is next.
Okay, awesome. Look forward to it.
Yeah, man, me too. So just one more time for the listeners out there, we appreciate you tuning into this podcast. We are the Fantasy Football Friends. You can email us at theffbfriends@gmail.com. Get at us at Twitter. I'm trying to be more active on there. That's at @FFBFriends. You can hit us up on anything on there you want to. Like, subscribe, rate the podcast for us, please. If you enjoy this, tell people to listen to it. That helps the most. If we can get more listeners, you know, hopefully I'm looking into getting ads for the podcast so we can start actually making some money off of this. And then, you know, once that starts rolling in, then I'll be able to spend more time, you know, delving into these numbers, and then we can improve our equipment and things like that. So big things on the horizon, guys, but we appreciate you guys tuning in. And until next time, y'all have a good one.
Through our lens, we don't follow the trends. Paper on way, zero we stay. It's top of the leaderboard, about time we score. Pay attention, can't ignore these fantasy football friends. See through our lens, we don't follow the trends. Paper on way, zero we stay. It's top of the leaderboard, about time we scored. Pay attention, can't ignore these fantasy football friends.